This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
What happened to Maddie Soto? That's what so many of us are wondering. The reports are not fully in yet. The autopsy report not in as of our recording right now. But let's watch this other clip. I think some of the verbiage here again is kind of telling.
Our detectives are dedicated to pursuing every lead, uncovering every fact, and holding those responsible accountable.
Those. Not him. Mm-hmm. Those. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could just be, you know, terminology that you use when you don't really know all the answers to what's going on. You can say those. It could end up being just him. But is there more to that? I mean, does that kind of, it looked like she was reading this, you know.
She was reading, yeah. And I felt she was choosing her verbiage really carefully.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a clear message at various points there that she was making. And it does, as we've said, it's awfully fishy about the mom. And it does seem like that is certainly still an open door for them.
It makes you wonder if there are others involved here, those involved here, if it goes beyond the mom as well. Not saying she couldn't be involved or complicit or at least knowledgeable in some way, shape, or form, but it does make you wonder a little bit about, was he distributing these images? Is this
exactly going
to, the fingers of this, are they going to reach out so far where, you know, others can be investigated, maybe not only for this case, but others of, you know, child pornography and things of that nature, because they tend to flock together.
They do. I was just going to say that. They have a trouble not sharing it. And they do have a tendency, people with this kind of pedophilia do tend to find other people like-minded. And of course, we know they share this material. So that was where my mind went to.
Why is that, I guess, is the question. If you're doing something that's that horrible, that you know society frowns upon, even if you're like, that's your thing. It's not a good thing by any means. It's horrible. But it just seems so insane that you'd be like, well, let's find some other folks that are doing this too. I mean, it just seems like the way to get caught. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Or is it that compulsion, that desire to see that sort of shit, that just, does that override all sense in people like this?
Yeah, compulsion is the perfect word. I was going to say addiction. It really is like an addiction. Mm-hmm. And the more material like this they can accumulate, the happier they are, the more elevated they feel. And I also think there's a big drive to feel normal, you know, because they know, of course, on some level, they're not normal. They know that they have these attractions that, we most of us consider it abhorrent.
Yeah.
And so they get an elevation in mood from finding like-minded people, you know, that there's this camaraderie that they get, which is horrifying. But yes, I've seen that many times, this tendency to want to find other pedophiles.
It makes them feel more normal, I guess, because you have the community then. In other times past, before the internet, did we have this sort of community, or have we seen that sort of thing escalate dramatically in the last 20 years because it's so much easier to create a community around anything and find people that, you know, otherwise you'd have to, I guess, physically find people. So I'm sure there was some of that going on, but I mean, has that now increased this sort of these horrible people doing these horrible things to children? Is it happening at a higher frequency, I guess, is my question, because there is more ways to find community with this and more ways for those abhorrent human beings to, I guess, normalize it within their mind because, well, these people are doing it too.
Yeah, I sure think that we are at least able to spot more of it now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can have data going back. Is it happening more? It may be that there's still the same percentage of pedophiles that there's always been in the population, but they certainly are more overt about it because they are able to connect with each other and find these networks on the dark web and the other ways that they do this. So it's something that the internet is enabling and allowing them to be a lot more active.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things in treating sex offenders that, you know, when they were out in the community, out on, you know, parole or conditional release, that we always very carefully monitored their internet activity, and they had to agree to that, to monitoring, because that was part of being out in the community, was they could not access this kind of material, and their internet was watched very closely, because it was felt that the internet activity was reinforcing and continuing this addictive process that they had.
It's just baffling, the whole thing. But hopefully we get more answers here as to who's all involved in this. And, you know, maybe there is, you know, some sort of silver lining to it. Never a good thing, obviously, that a child died and went through hell while she was alive. But maybe at the end of the day, this will take down far more people than just one that are involved in that world.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.